Good day and welcome, Philadelphia and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue for Philly Freedom and Tom Donahue Reports. So glad you can be with us on WFYL Radio and, of course, our digital partners at Red State Talk Radio and TalkStream Live Worldwide. Let me just jump right in here. There are quite a few things I want to cover. Many of you are probably still saying, what were those words that you did? How did you describe Hillary Clinton? Well, let's try a few of them right here before we jump into the news headlines. How about horrific? How about horrendous? How about hellacious? Yeah, that's right. Hellish Hillary, the Hellcat. Yeah, Okay, that's her. And not hilarity, because she's really not that funny, unless you want to just laugh at her laugh. Okay, there are several things that I want to get to. Some of them I'll go into more detail than others. But Cal Thomas has written another brilliant piece, Hillary Must Be Held Accountable. And there's no question that she needs to be held accountable for SecurityGate, E-Gate, and just being a hellacious and a horrific liar, serial pathological liar. And we talked about that in the prior broadcast. Now, I had talked about the so-called libertarian alternative that some of the never Trump, derail Trump, not for Trump movements have tried to consider. I guess over the weekend, the holiday weekend, we had the Libertarian State Convention, the National Convention, and they made it official, although it took a couple of rounds. It took some opposition. There were some protests. There were some back and forth, give and take. But in the end, former governor from New Mexico, Gary Johnson, won out. Now, his running mate, there's even greater opposition, and the party almost feels like they've been hijacked. Well, the Tea Party certainly got hijacked and got, unfortunately, rather than them being the takeover artist, they were taken over in a hostile manner a few years ago. And that's why you hear so little, even though they still exist and they still operate, but they get little or no coverage because now it's all about just the Republican Party. So Bill Weld, former Massachusetts governor, and also served, at the congressional level, he is considered very moderate, very centrist. And here you have two Republicans. Now, one, you're being more liberally progressive, the other being more centrist and moderate. But nevertheless, how did the Libertarian Party get taken over? I mean, now, sadly, there are a lot of people in the Libertarian Party that got involved because, well, it has to do with personal irresponsibility. And let's say, no, we're responsible for our personal misgivings and misdeeds and misbehavior. So many people, especially those of the younger generations, they got in because they want dope legalized, all drugs and all sex acts legalized. And they certainly want to be able to do what they want, when they want, and how they want. Well, I agree in private, in most matters, when it comes to personal affairs, that as long as you're not hurting or harming others, although sometimes that is even a bit dubious in its distinction, that the Libertarian Party is driven by these concepts, by these desires. Well, Gary Johnson wants to deliver on the marijuana and on the drug thing. Bill Weld, I don't know what he wants to deliver on, but you would think that the ticket would be balanced where you wouldn't have two Republicans. I mean, basically you're saying that you're taking on retreads from the Republican Party, not bold, not your own branding, not something that's novel, interesting, innovative, but instead you say, okay, we're going to put up people that have name recognition and that are really retreads and in some instances rejects from the Republican Party. Now, it may work for them this year because you could have the Republican GOP establishment use that as their protest vote, even though they said, oh, you should never have a protest vote. Your vote should matter and should never vote for anyone that doesn't have a viable chance of winning. But that's all thrown out the window because the advice they gave was because they didn't think they would ever have to, well, employ the same strategy. And so now, for all the decades of all the naysayers saying, well, you can't vote for libertarians, you can't vote for populists, you can't vote for any other independent third-party movement candidate because it's a effort in futility. It is a fruitless endeavor. But now they're saying, oh, it's okay because we don't like Trump. And so it's kind of interesting that for all the takeovers that the Republican Party has engineered, especially the Tea Party, that now the Trump movement, it kind of in reverse because a lot of the Tea Partiers like Trump. Many of them liked other candidates too, and many from the Reform Party and movement like Trump. And many that like Buchanan, and even a Jerry Brown back in the day, they're kind of for Trump. So you have this coalition of people that, to some degree, were taken over and kind of rerouted back into the GOP. And now we're seeing that it may not work so well. So I think that's pretty interesting. We'll revisit this subject. But the Libertarian Party is getting a lot of attention now. With their candidates, are they basically going to become almost a mirror image of these other parties? I mean, where's the bold and where's the... you would think there'd be stark contrasts. Well, there really won't be. I mean, you could find it on specific issues, but I don't know how anyone would get excited about that ticket. Now, here's something that some people are going to get excited about, because Pat Buchanan, just like Trump, he says things, and sometimes around the edges that could be construed as, well, tinging on maybe being a little racist, but I don't think Pat is. I really don't. Because he doesn't care about political correctness. And so you really have to understand that you can say certain things, but they don't mean what the media wants us or thinks that it should mean. So the title of this article by Pat Buchanan is "Whites Looking to Trump as Blacks Did Obama with Hope." Oh boy. Okay. So you can't mention any other race. You can't mention any other ethnicity. You can't mention any other complexion, because it has to be non-white. It just cannot be, because they were a majority for so long, and so they cannot be represented directly. They were represented centuries ago, so now everybody else gets represented, and they have no direct representation. That's just the way it works. Okay, hold tight, right back. Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom. Tom Donahue reports back in moments. Welcome back. Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom on WFYL Radio, and of course our digital partners at Red State Talk Radio and worldwide at Talk Stream Live. So glad you can be with us today. And we're revisiting a subject, although it's actually an expanded news story as it relates to the Libertarian Party officially selecting through the convention process over the weekend their nominee, which is a repeat nominee, which is a recycled nominee, and Republican rejected nominee at one time, and that's Gary Johnson, former governor from the great state of New Mexico, and Bill Weld, former governor of the state of Massachusetts. And I just remembered so often this party being looked at as radical, rebellious, renegade. Now it's the party of retreads, status quo, safe selections. There's nothing rebellious, renegade, or radical here. There's nothing novel. These aren't viable alternatives. This is almost as bad as when, I don't know if you recall, that they tried to run Bob Barr. Remember Bob Barr from Georgia? I mean, this guy was so far afield from anything that resembled to me libertarian. Now, he did get concerned about the surveillance, society and issues, Big Brother. And so there were some issues that he found troubling, but he was pretty status quo Republican for the longest time. And remember, he, with his legal background, he really went after Bill Clinton and was very big on working towards Clinton's impeachment. So I don't understand the libertarians, and I guess just like every party, as things, the more stable, the more things become status quo, seems that process gets corrupted, that the is around long enough, believe me, there'll be infiltration, there will be takeovers, and there will be competing interests that the Libertarian Party is looked at now as an entree, is looked at as a viable platform, politically speaking, because so few third parties, and so few parties with the exception of the Republicans and Democrats, have ballot access, ballot qualifications for all 50 states. Even the Republican and Democrat parties, there were a few situations that they could have been left off the ballot. Well, because they're the two status quo established parties. Now, that's what the Libertarian Party is becoming. It's becoming an established party. Now, there's nothing wrong with the word established. But what the problem is when it's established and becomes part of the order, the prevailing or controlling order, and what differentiates the Democrat, the Republican parties, and the Libertarian Party? If you look at these two candidates, and true, there'll be some variations and gradations, but in terms of the majority of issues, it's becoming where it's not really a viable alternative. It's not an alternative. If the Republican Party retreads, rejects, and those that are in the mood for protestation, where there was no protestation, regardless of candidates, over decades, and now all of a sudden, we don't like Donald Trump. Even though it's the power of the people, it's we the people that have placed Trump and his movement and Trumpomania front and center as the standard bearer, I would have more respect for these clowns and cretins if they said, you know what, we're going to go out and create a new party. Although they don't have enough time, but they could have set up a party behind the scenes. They could have done it a little bit more on the QT and not really, you know how you have these super PACs and you have all these different organizations that are lurking in the background, but we're still pulling the strings, still playing a role. They could have done that where they didn't show their hand because they're so underhanded anyway. But they didn't do that. They really felt that they were going to be able to derail Trump, do it through the convention process. If they could not get their nominee or get their candidate to defeat Donald Trump head to head, this has been an incredibly interesting political process in Europe. And we're gonna cover more on this as well. Now, Bob Dole says, he's actually said he will support Trump. Not that Trump needs Bob Dole, but, you know, just to have anyone that was the former nominee, someone that was a pretty powerful senator. I mean, he was the head of the Senate for quite some time. I mean, he represented the Republicans, and he was the majority leader for the United States Senate. So Bob Dole has been around, even though he had more of a centrist, moderate perspective, he still was a decorated war hero and someone that overall I think most Republicans kind of liked. he seemed to get along more with Clinton than have problems with Bill Clinton. So that was really not a good choice. But whatever the case may be, he became the nominee in 96. He's saying that Trump should apologize to McCain and make Gingrich his running mate. There's a lot of people pushing for Gingrich. It's odd for me to even say kind things about Gingrich, because we do know that he was very aggressive in getting his wife, who was undergoing chemotherapy and was very ill, because he wanted a divorce, because he found another woman who happens to be his current wife. And so he was the same person that was having an affair and was also accusing Bill Clinton, because he was the Speaker of the House. So Newt Gingrich has always been a hypocrite, but super smart, highly intellectual. I mean, he actually was a pretty good debater, even without preparation, which he tended not to do, and that hurt him towards the final contest in those debates with Romney. But nevertheless, and he also was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He was a neocon, neoconservative, and someone that was an interventionist. And he's walked back a lot of these things, and he said that, he was for NAFTA and GATT. So there's a lot of past sins here, personally, politically. But more and more people are saying that he really has become like a born-again conservative and someone more towards being a nationalist and more of a patriot. I don't know. It's sort of like when someone says they had religious conversion. I guess the only way you know them is by the fruits they bear. But he did take on Romney, and he did have some pretty interesting positions back in 2012. And believe me, he is a debater, and he is a pit bull and an attack dog, and he is credited for balancing budgets more so than Clinton. If Donald Trump feels that he needs someone like that to work with the Congress and knows the political system inside and out, just like Ronald Reagan took on George Herbert Walker Bush, most true conservatives did not like that pick, did not want Bush on the ticket. So will I be in total rejection if he were to bring on a Newt Gingrich? No, because he's already said he needs a political mover and shaker, an insider, to be able to successfully work his agenda and to be able to work with the Congress and to get things done, to get things passed. So I'm not going to forego or forsake Donald Trump if he does pick someone considered to be more establishment with baggage. Now, back to the Bob Dole request or suggestion or the prompting of Donald Trump to apologize to McCain. I think he should. I have a lot of issues with John McCain. But anybody that's gone through 5+ years, there's no doubt that he was a prisoner of war. And there's no doubt that he ended up, crippled, handicapped, based on those experiences. And is it true that, there's a lot of hypocrites in politics. Is it true that when he saw his wife, who had aged, and he had an opportunity to find a younger bride, did he do it? And did he leave his wife? Yes, he did. So she stayed loyal. She was there for John McCain. John McCain was not there because he was more interested in finding a younger, more viable wife. Sadly to say, using that term viable again. So there's a lot of issues that you can take to these candidates based on past behavior and performance. And so many of them have these skeletons in their closet. But the point is that to say to someone, if someone is captured in war, regardless of how they were captured, let's just say, worst case scenario, they made some mistakes and weren't able to evade capture. You're still a prisoner of war. I don't know that to be the circumstance, and Donald Trump has not known that to be the circumstance. If you are overwhelmed by the enemy, if you are, you know, there's many times where you have no other option to either be killed or captured. There's no sin in that. There's no shame in that. So Donald Trump, I think, again, he shot off, you know, his mouth moved faster than his brain. He didn't want to walk it back. It's not just a misstatement. It's not just a mistake. I mean, it's something that I think he should apologize for, and I think it would really serve him well, and I think more veterans would get behind that. And yet, then, if you want to take on John McCain because of the mismanaged campaign, for bringing Palin onto the ticket, well, he wouldn't do that because Palin's endorsing him, for John McCain not really serving the veteran, not serving his brethren when he got back so well, for, you know, fast-tracking the normalization with Vietnam with John Kerry, there's a lot of issues that you can take on John McCain politically. But being a POW, I really think, is not one of them. Okay, we got to take a break. We'll come back with more. I promise. Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom, Tom Donahue Reports. Right back. Hold tight.
What's in your body soap? Well, I didn't know the answer until about 5 years ago when I looked at the label of my soap and was shocked to see all the chemicals. For my entire life, I had been assaulting the largest organ of my body, my skin, and to think my children were using it too. Well, a lot has changed since then. Today, my family and I operate Stone City Farms, where we make and sell all natural goat milk soap using fresh goat milk from goats we raise on our farm. Our mission at Stone City Farm is to produce high quality, all natural goat milk soap for people who want a fresh, unrefined natural product. At Stone City Farms, we offer scented and unscented soaps and a signature line of gift sets customizable to your needs. To see what our customers are saying, go to StoneCityFarm.com. Use the code NATURAL for a 20% discount. That's StoneCityFarm.com, code NATURAL for 20% off your order. You never know what could be hiding in your soap.
Welcome back. Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom on WFYL Radio, serving the greater Philadelphia area and beyond. I want to thank Red State Talk Radio and, of course, TalkStream Live Worldwide. Let's jump right back in on this segment. Kissinger refutes Trump claim of support for foreign policy. Well, I mean, it was obvious to me that there is no way that Henry Kissinger was going to support the foreign policy of Donald Trump. And if I were Trump, I wouldn't want Henry Kissinger's support. Now, Henry Kissinger, this is very telling. Many people accuse me of, well, I'm not so sure I accept the influence, if not control, and maybe domination of these particular individuals you say are part of a shadow government. These particular individuals that are elitist, globalist, internationalist, transnationalist, those that are members or founding members or board members of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and beyond, and the Bilderbergs. Henry Kissinger was in on the founding with David Rockefeller of the Trilateral Commission. They also decided, more or less out of a game, they said, well, you know what, we're going to bring Jimmy Carter in, and he's going to be part of this new organization, and we're going to make him president of the United States. Well, when Kissinger left the Nixon administration, and he still was very involved in foreign policy within the United States, and of course, another one who's not a natural born citizen, a German, and that's okay. He knew that there was no way he could run for president, which he would have loved to, but it was very his was much more clear cut. As opposed to Obama and Romney and Ted Cruz. But let's get away from natural-born citizens and running for the highest office of the land here in this country, because we've covered that extensively. So Kissinger was a founding member with David Rockefeller of the Trilateral Commission. Kissinger has been a long-term standing member and high member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Kissinger has been very high up in the Bilderbergs. Kissinger has worked with the Rockefellers and the Rothschild families. Kissinger is considered, you know, one of the, he probably is in the, if he's not in the top tier, he's in the second tier of the most powerful men in the world, because he more or less serves at the behest of those at the highest levels, okay? But nevertheless, he is one of those dutiful and, you know, very loyal servants, if you will, of the highest established order. Doesn't mean that he doesn't wield a lot of power. He does. And he's become even more powerful because some of those that were above him, well, they've passed on. Now, he's more hands-on, nuts and bolts. You know, he's not, he's always craved the limelight. So he doesn't mind being a target and in the open, as opposed to others that are in the background and they're the master puppeteers. He's a puppeteer, but he's also a puppet of those of the highest order. And so he's been put in places to make sure that the marching orders, that the plans, the shadow government, and this ruling elite, the power elite, control not only this country, but the foreign policy, international relations. And this is Henry Kissinger. So in this particular article, and there have been others, Kissinger lives in New York. He spent a lot of time in New York. Donald Trump has, you know, worked with a lot of people within in and out of government in high places. So you know that these people, you know that they have not only crossed paths, but they've communicated. So as he continued to rack up the wins, you know, Donald Trump is going to talk to whomever. But it doesn't mean that he's going to come out kowtowing or bowing or kissing the bootstraps of any of these people. So I'm not all that concerned that because Donald Trump perhaps isn't the purist that I am. You know, if I were in Donald Trump's shoes, no, I would not meet with Henry Kissinger. There are certain people I would just say, they're persona non grata, they're not welcome. But Trump is having to play the game to some extent. But I guarantee you, if Henry Kissinger badmouths Donald Trump, you're going to start hearing the conspiracy theories come out, or the conspiracy facts as it relates to Henry Kissinger and the dastardly deeds of Henry Kissinger. Also, another place that Donald Trump and Henry Kissinger probably plenty of times have communicated or crossed paths was their dealings with China. Do you know that Kissinger and Associates, the company that Kissinger set up, when he opened relations, international relations with China, he got the first rights. And almost all business that came from the United States and even Western Europe had to go through Kissinger and Associates. So Kissinger was the filter, the conduit. Believe me, he got fees for all these companies that, you know, worked through Kissinger and Associates to set up their factories and to set up, you know, their connections with the Chinese government. So Kissinger has become, he's probably not going to ever reveal that he's a billionaire, but he is, but he'll just say a multimillionaire. So this is what Kissinger had to say. He said, on foreign policy, he says that Trump identifies many of the key problems, but he added, I do not generally agree with the solutions. One-shot outcomes are probably not possible. Time Report's former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton also lauded Kissinger for his support of her policies. I was very flattered when Henry Kissinger said I ran the State Department better than anyone had run it in a long time, she said at a Democrat debate in February, according to MSNBC reports. Now, let's go back in time a little bit, and there was Barack Obama. Well, guess what? Barack Obama met with Henry Kissinger, too. Well, didn't surprise anybody if you listen to this program and you at least are open-minded as it relates to things that are beyond coincidental. Back then, you know, the teacher for the student, Obama, He lauded his insights as it related to foreign affairs and gave almost an endorsement of Obama. Henry Kissinger sees himself as a citizen of the world. And the United States is only one part of that world that he controls. But he's instrumental in controlling North America, which includes the United States of America. But Kissinger is a trilateralist of the highest order, counsel on foreign relations, and he is someone that has served the international banking cartel, the highest degrees of the order that run this planet, not just the United States of America. So Henry Kissinger still, as you can see, whether it's a Hillary Clinton, whether it's a Barack Obama, even Trump, and we know that he would have met with Romney. You know, I don't have the information at my fingertips, but, you know, he met with all the top-tier individuals that could likely become president of the United States in electoral politics over the last few decades. But he's never had complete control over these candidates, but he has undue influence because Henry Kissinger makes sure that the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations, their members and their policy experts are always highly represented, ensconced within both administrations, whether it be Democrat or Republican. We've got to take a break. We'll come back with more on Henry Kissinger, Donald Trump, international affairs, and 2016. Hold tight.
FoodForLiberty.com sells high-quality storable foods from Numana. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or an outdoor sports enthusiast, FoodForLiberty.com has your prepackaged single-serve packs or kits for the entire family. Numana is known for high-quality, great-tasting, GMO-free, super nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. With a 25-year shelf life, you can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. Right now, FoodForLiberty.com is offering a special gift, a heavy-duty Survivor dry storage box designed for extreme bug-out conditions. This storage box is built to last, includes compass, signaling mirror, and is yours free with a $50 order. Go to foodforliberty.com right now and pick up your quality storable foods from Numana. To get the Survivor dry storage box, use promo code LIBERTY. It makes good sense to be prepared. Go to foodforliberty.com.
Not being able to fall asleep is so frustrating. The tossing, the turning, the adjustment of pillows and blankets. Ugh! Eventually you just decide to get up and start your day really early. It doesn't have to be this way, though. Power Sleep is an all-natural, non-prescription formula that will help you sleep like a baby. It contains neurotransmitter nutrients that promote the production of serotonin, which is responsible for feelings of well-being. Power Sleep is easy to digest and absorb and is made in a base of active probiotics. Don't miss another night of sleep. Order your Power Sleep at energywave.com or call 800-TURTLE-5. Add Power Vites to your cart while you're browsing. Perfect for Monday mornings. They're a complete multivitamin and mineral formula that will give you the energy you need to get through your day. Nourish your immune system and feel great. Get all the info and place your order at energywave.com. Enter code word SLEEP to get free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome back. Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom on WFYL Radio. I want to thank our partners on the digital side, Red State Talk Radio, and of course, TalkStream Live Worldwide. Let me just jump right back into this. We're in our final segment, take four, and let me just say that we're talking about Donald Trump and how Trump's having to play the game, but he really plays by his own rules. With the exception, of course, he'll learn if he hasn't certainly been fully apprised of the fact that the Constitution, and to some extent, that's why so many recent presidents have been reliant upon executive orders. Now, there have been times where executive orders, to be fair, have done some good things. But for the most part, it has been acts of, you know, reckless disregard for the legislative body, the House of Congress, and of course we have the judicial as well. So Trump is meeting with a variety of people, and I don't think he's that concerned about winning most of them over. But this is, you know, his office has been like a revolving door. You know, he's had politicians come in, he's had, you know, world leaders, he's had business tycoons and you know, investment firms and banking institutions, and you name the organization, you name the business, and Trump has met with so many people over the years. And so he starts, I guess, I mean, he's the author of The Art of the Deal. I mean, he knows the cards he's holding, and he knows, you know, what his objectives are. And I think that's what you're seeing here play out, is that if someone were to accuse him that, well, you haven't even met with Henry Kissinger. Well, I have. Well, you haven't met with this one or that one. Well, I have. And he's not signing any pledges. There's no contractual obligations. You know, these are just, they're meetings. That's what he does every day. That's what he's done for the last, you know, 40 plus years. So for more than four decades, he's used to having meetings. So with all the freak out about him meeting with Henry Kissinger or meeting with others that could be perceived as, and rightfully so, as part of the policy establishment or the international elite core of controllers, I would do it differently. But Donald Trump's gotten himself this far. And you do see that anyone that attacks, anyone that is scathingly critical, or actually just critical, he will flare up and fight back. And so if Kissinger goes beyond saying that he disagrees with some of the solutions that Trump offers in identifying the problems, there's nothing really there that he has to go after. So Kissinger may still, and I think many of these folks still probably believe that they'll help stack the cabinet, they'll put people in the State Department, they'll have, you know, their tentacles, their influence will reign. But their influence will be substantial, at least according to their mindset. Now, will their worldview be expressed? Will there be some influence? Will there be some infiltration? I suppose so. There's just so many different positions, and there's many that are already entrenched, ensconced within, whether it's a Republican or Democrat administration, because they're senior officials and they've been around a while, and so it's not a complete purge of all staffs. Now, some staffs, they know that they, you know, they come and go based on, you know, the political winds. It wins and wins. If you know what I mean, how the winds blow and who wins the elections. But not everybody goes. If it were a clean sweep, then you could say that, and Donald Trump can try to remove as much of the dead wood. He could try to remove as many of the folks that are opposed or in some cases diametrically opposed to his positions and his agenda. So we'll just have to see what happens there. But one of the things we try to do with this program is get you to think for yourself. Think outside the box. Become aware, and then you can become more greatly involved. And so it's waking you up from your political slumber. You know, I'm not here to mold the minds of mush. What I'm here to do is influence, inspire, motivate, educate, but not necessarily inculcate. And you'll probably hear me say these things very often. But this is a program based on, just like our station here, it's fighting for your liberty. It's about defense of freedom. It's about our heritage that relates to our founders and framers. It's that involves Christian heritage. If it offends you, then turn the radio off. Goodbye. See you later. It also involves, and it doesn't mean that you have to be necessarily Christian, or that you necessarily have to adopt any religious or spiritual belief. But we can say clearly that if you don't favor the Bill of Rights, you know, the Constitution, and you know, and the constitutional ways of this country, well, then what do you favor? Either you would be an anarchist, or you'd be someone that would want more government control, more of a socialist, communist regime. And you say, oh, no, it's just simple democracy. Well, if you really look at simple democracy, it's really not so simple, except for the simpletons are the majority, and the majority has the sway over the minority. So that means if the mobs decide that something is, you know, in their favor, or they feel that it's fair and balanced, well, then maybe it's people that are smarter, maybe people that are more industrious, maybe people that are more creative, people that actually do more thinking and more doing, they might see themselves in harm's way. Okay, so generally, when you have mob rule, and that's what a democracy is, majority, which becomes mob rule in many instances, that's why in our constitutional republic, you will find that there are various instances that spell out clearly that it's not a clear majority. For instance, if you want to change the United States Constitution, you want to amend the Constitution, it's going to take 3/4 of the states, not 25 plus 1, meaning 26 states. And I think I'm going to revive something that I used to do sometimes on a daily basis, at minimum, a weekly basis, Hall of Fame and Hall of Shame. Now, I was doing that for quite some time, a few years back, and then I noticed other shows were doing it. They might change the name slightly. But you could be a hero or a zero, a Hall of Famer or a Hall of Shamer. And I don't know if I want to name someone today. I might do that. Well, actually, why don't I just start off? We'll put Donald Trump as a Hall of Famer. For someone that's a nationalist, a protectionist, someone that is representing American ideals and American interest. Well, we've been talking about Henry Kissinger, right? And I find him to be such a dastardly dude. And so I'm going to put him in the Hall of Shame. When I do Hall of Fame and Hall of Shame, you can win your way in, and you can work your way out. But Henry Kissinger, there's not a darn thing you can do. So like when Henry Kissinger meets his maker, like we all will, that is my belief, that Henry Kissinger will find himself in a very precarious position. And just like with this particular shaming, that when I put someone like Henry Kissinger in the Hall of Shame, no matter what he says or does, he's there permanently. Now, Donald Trump, he could find himself one day, and you know, it may just be one day because of something. He could end up in the Hall of Shame. And you say, well, who writes these rules? Well, of course I do, because I'm the host. And there are just times where you have to realize that whoever is hosting a program is going to represent, you know, their ideals, their interest, you know, the way that they do things. And no, I don't have chat rooms where people go, oh, so Susie says this in the chat room, and Johnny says that. Well, that's just lovely. That's wonderful. But if you really want to write to me, you know, you can write to me through my email. You can contact me through social media. And all that information is available if you go to the station website or to the Tom Donahue Reports website. And I do appreciate the feedback that we've been receiving. So much I'm going to be covering. And it's going to be, I think the heat is on. And it's not just about the weather. We have two party conventions. And I'll tell you, Philadelphia and Cleveland, I mean, here in the East, wow, this is going to be some amazing stuff. So we're going to be reporting on all of that. And I guess I'm going to put in another Hall of Shamer. Let me induct a second one. Let me induct Hillary Clinton, Hella Shillery, the hellacious one, the Hellcat herself. Yeah, she's a Hall of Shamer, and I don't see any way she works herself out of the Hall of Shame. And there was another thing I wanted to mention before closing, is that the discussion about the bathroom issue, you know, public restrooms, you know, places where you have to utilize the facilities to change clothes, to relieve yourself. You know what I'm talking about. To me, to have the government getting involved in affording special rights and privileges and defining and then redefining genders and roles. And you saw this all coming. All this coming about through the military. And it's all about social experimentation and exploration. But it's also about controlling the society and attacking the forces of freedom. And those forces of freedom, the frontiers of freedom, are family and faith. And when they can attack those institutions of long standing and high regard and try to discredit, to defame, to disrupt, disintegrate, that's where the trouble comes in. And that they're the forces of evil. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Tom Donahue, Putting America First, New World Order Dead Last, Constitutional Crusader, Liberty Lover, Freedom Fighter. Till we meet again, have a great day.
In your body soap? Well, I didn't know the answer until about 5 years ago when I looked at the label of my soap and was shocked to see all the chemicals. For my entire life, I had been assaulting the largest organ of my body, my skin, and to think my children were using it too. Well, a lot has changed since then. Today, my family and I operate Stone City Farms, where we make and sell all natural goat milk soap using fresh goat milk from goats we raise on our farm. Our mission at Stone City Farm is to produce high quality, all natural goat milk soap for people who want a fresh, unrefined natural product. At Stone City Farms, we offer scented and unscented soaps and a signature line of gift sets customizable to your needs. To see what our customers are saying, go to StoneCityFarm.com. Use the code NATURAL for a 20% discount. That's StoneCityFarm.com, code NATURAL for 20% off your order. You never know what could be hiding in your soap.